Hi, I'm Leah Lane, an award-winning travel writer and author of Places I Remember, Tales, Truths, Delights from 100 Countries. On this podcast, we share conversations with travelers about fascinating destinations and memorable experiences around the world. It's our 75th episode, and we're now heard in 140 countries and over 4,000 cities around the world. Thanks to you, we're in the top 3% of podcasts globally, according to Listen Notes, the top podcast search engine. To celebrate, I've compiled a sampling of some of the best memories from all episodes we recorded this past year for our award-winning travel podcast. There are so many, we're dividing these favorite excerpts into two episodes. So let's begin with part one of my favorite excerpts of Places I Remember 2022. As you listen, jot down the episode number so that you can go back to enjoy the conversations, the places, and the guests you're most interested in. Patty Esai is the Esai Factor, known as the Duchess of Decorum, by almost a million TikTok followers. In episode 48, we both discuss fun and fascinating customs around the world, including this exchange. Well, cultures typically approach sex, marriage, and reproduction in unique ways. September 12th is the day of conception in Russia because the declining birth rates of Russia, coupled with the unequal proportion of women to men and the alarmingly short lifespans of Russian men, because of that, there's a public holiday on September 12th to give couples time off from work in order to have a baby. And parents whose babies are born exactly 9 months later can even win prizes.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Very interesting. Who knew?
I know. Now, another one. In China, it's believed that if the husband carries his pregnant wife over burning coal with bare feet, the wife has an easy delivery. So I guess physical pain for the husband to ease out the wife's labor, perhaps.
It balances things out.
I guess so. Okay, how about another one from you?
So in Thailand, or really in any of those Indonesian countries or South Asian countries, you're not supposed to touch a monk, especially if you're a woman. I remember I was on the train in Thailand and I got on the train with my tour guide. There was a monk and I go to sit next to the monk and the guy just like literally just grabs me and pulls me up. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, you're not supposed to sit near a monk and you're not supposed to touch a monk. Had no idea.
In episode 49, excerpts from the best of 21 episode, there's lots to choose from, but here's a particular favorite. American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance producer Simon Fuller shares a travel memory of eloquent simplicity about nature and family when he was filming the documentary Serengeti in Tanzania.
There was one trip where I actually went specifically to just recharge my batteries and to think about projects in my career. And that was the trip where I came up with the idea of Serengeti. So that was obviously found and important. But the part two to that was that I got to take my three young daughters there after Serengeti had broadcast, or as we were making it at least, and shared the wonder of that beautiful part of the world with them. And so to see them see an elephant in the wild and a lion and all the many, many beautiful creatures we saw, to see their reaction to it for the first time. And they were 3.5 and 8.5 at the time. Nothing will ever beat that for me. That's the memory I would take to my grave. It was just the innocence of young humans and the innocence of nature meeting. And that purity and the love, no, it wasn't fear, actually. It was just awe. That will be a memory I will last forever and ever.
In episode 50, survivor Alan Hall tells of hiding with his Jewish family in Poland during the Holocaust. Even in this short take, you can hear why this exceptional episode won awards.
A German was complaining that he had an office in a Nazi headquarters building, the tallest building in Poland, second tallest building in Europe. And he was just paying rent for an office he could not use. Well, my father almost jumped out of his shoes and he said, well, I've got a little factory. We could probably use that space. How much are you owe for it? A price was established. And my dad sublet that office in a Nazi headquarters building. We climbed up the 13 flights of stairs up to that because we would not use the elevator. Since it was, these were manual elevators run by operators. And so we climbed up the back stairs, got into that office, and for the next 2 years, my mother and I were hidden in a back closet in the back, in the private, off the private office in the Nazi headquarters building in Warsaw.
Tell me about the closet.
Well, the closet was about 2 feet, 2.5 feet wide, or deep, I should say, and about maybe 4.5 to 5 feet wide. My mother and I sat on the floor facing each other, and we each had a pillow on our lap, so that because there were people working all around us, so we had to cough, sneeze, or anything, we would bury our heads in the pillow. The only other things that we had in the closet were as a potty for personal needs, and lastly, a little bit of white string, like a baker's string, and we would play cat in the cradle for hour after hour after hour. And that's the way we spent about 9 to 10 hours each day, 5 days a week. And even on Saturdays, Sundays, when we come out of the closet, we could never rise above the bottom of the window so that nobody would see us.
In episode 51, one of our most popular ones, we talk about Portugal with travel expert Jaime Simoes. Here he describes the famous Portuguese singing style called the fado.
Go for the fado houses that are more driven towards locals, like Café Lusa, and not towards tourists, and where anybody can walk in off the street in some of these fado houses and sing a set of fado songs, you know, the postman or the clerk from the store or the cafe. But a couple of things you need to know about fado. It is cathartic. People describe these as sad songs. They're not. They're very sad, yes, and about loss and longing and tattered relationships. But there's a certain ability to cleanse your soul with the sadness of this music to make you actually feel good. So when Portuguese go to hear fado, it actually makes them feel better about things.
It sounds like the blues. It sounds like
the version of the blues. Yes, very much so. Very good comparison. So anyways, so try and find one of these local fado houses where local singers sing and Portuguese people go. But the number one rule is the later you go, the better the music. And the number two rule is be quiet, be silent. It is respectful, you know, because in Portuguese we say, you know, silencio vai cantar o fado. Be quiet, we're going to sing the fado. That is a sign of respect to the person singing, and enjoy it. You know, there are more tourist-oriented clubs that do more of a floor show, and those are fun too, but that really isn't the fado. That's more of a stage thing, and it's fun to enjoy. But I say, go hear the real fado. Hear the soul of Portugal laid out in all of its beauty.
In episode 52, we learn about another form of blues, one that originated in the Mississippi Delta, from Josephine Machas and her husband, economist and musician Craig Jones.
There were a couple of other juke joints I went to, and I know they're pretty famous. One is called Red's.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That looks like when you go in there, it looks like an attic or something. It's a fire hazard. Yeah. But the music was unbelievable. It was real stuff. And we didn't even care. I you go in there and you think, I don't know, but you come out and you're happy. Exactly. How about Ground Zero? Ground Zero is a famous one. I think that one is well known. Tell us a little about that one. These are both in Clarksdale.
Both in Clarksdale. Yeah.
Ground Zero is a more typical, you know, large bar or tavern. Great sound system. You know, dollars stapled to the walls and people, you know, autographing and everywhere. So it's much more typically, in contrast to Red's Lounge, which, as you said, looks like a fire trap, but it's very authentic.
It is. I loved it.
In episode 53, to celebrate the first anniversary of Places I Remember, I spoke with my two sons, Carrie and Rand, about some of our family travels, and they interviewed me.
I think having a mother who is a travel writer is a really different and cool thing when you're growing up. When your friends are doing conventional things or conventional travel, it was a really fun thing to be exposed to different cultures and different foods and different experiences at an early age. And I think that certainly helped shape our outlook as we got older, or embracing diversity.
I hope so. I certainly tried when I traveled to come back with some recipes that were interesting that maybe you didn't like so much when you were little, but I think both of you are foodies now. So
when our friends were eating Wonder Bread and chicken nuggets, we were eating couscous out of a tagine, you know, so I think there's value in that.
I hope so. Well, we went on some interesting trips. One of the earliest, which was to Iceland when we were living in England. Iceland Air was giving a big promotional deal. You could go to Iceland in the 70s for free for a couple of days because nobody was going there. I had never thought of going there. It was on our way to Luxembourg. So we stopped over there and it was like going to the moon. There were no tourists and very few hotels. And Rand remembered one thing.
Well, I remember looking down a giant pit into hell, basically, which in retrospect was a geyser. But when you're that just looked like infinity and like you said, the most magical and I'm not sure scary or fantastical, but it was that's one of my, if not my earliest memory.
Episode 54 is an interview with Sandra Smith, a fascinating woman who sailed solo in the Pacific, among many accomplishments. Here she gives us an example of her interesting life.
You talked about crew. That was another bad crew. Well, I was in PV and trying to decide if I should go south because it was kind of scary for
Puerto
me.
Puerto Vallarta, yeah.
Yeah. And so this fellow there, he needed crew. He was going to go to Costa Rica. And so I thought, well, that's good. I'll get a chance to see what it's like sailing down there and if I can handle it myself. And he had leather patches on his jacket and had graduated from Stanford. So I thought he can't be all that bad. So I said, because I had stopped drinking years before, I said, I'll be happy to do it if you don't take any booze and I can bring my dog. And he said, yes, he agreed to that. And the next day, another fellow appeared that wanted to go on the trip. And he's a cinematographer for the largest movie company in Canada. And when he didn't have movies to do, he would just come down there and hang out. And so I called him Bear. He was kind of cuddly and big, you know, and really nice. So we took off and a few minutes out of the harbor, the owner, I'm going to call him Captain Bly, said, get me a beer. I said, a beer. And Bear opened up the refrigerator. And I had donated all this filet mignon that I had driven to San Diego just to get because the Mexican meat is so tough to chew. And I donated this whole thing. He had gotten rid of it and the whole rice box was filled with beer. Bear went to get a glass to pour and the guy shouted down, don't bother with a glass. Just bring me the quart bottle.
Episode 55 is all about Scotland, with Scott's brother and sister, Bruce McAlpin and Rona Patterson. Here we talk about one of the country's most well-known foods.
Tell us some specialties that we only find in Scotland.
Probably everybody knows haggis. I don't know. Did you have it, Leah, when you were visiting?
I've had haggis. Tell me about it. What is haggis?
Well, I mean, haggis is a delight. It's got oatmeal and then it's got some other bits and pieces in it.
Yep. So it's bits and pieces that make it different. Yeah, historically, it tastes good.
Historically, those bits and pieces were things you might not want to eat. The offal and the whole thing was cooked in a sheep's stomach, but I think now it's maybe higher quality and seasoned. I love haggis. Rona, do you love haggis?
If you pair it with a nice creamy whiskey sauce, then potentially. Without a creamy whiskey sauce, I'm not sure.
I think if you put anything with creamy whiskey sauce, it tastes good.
Oh, the funny thing is, Leah, that Rona is born on Robert Burns' birthday, and on Robert Burns' birthday, you eat haggis, right? That's what you do. Well, you do other things too. You toast the haggis and you read poetry and you drink whiskey or whatever.
Well, you know, that's famous around the world. Local place here, not far from my house, toast Robert Burns on his birthday with all that stuff. I think they even serve haggis. So that's really interesting.
In episode 56, Renske Greenluta shares a personal memory of the Netherlands.
If I'm thinking about special, I'm thinking about my grandfather in the war, World War II, yes. And he was a truck driver. He had his own truck, so he would drive around and help people with whatever moving. And he was asked to help the night watch.
The famous Rembrandt painting.
Yes, to put it in his car and drive to the dunes here in Kesterkum, which is a little town next to the sea. And in here, we got bunkers, and that's where the night watch was stored. Away for the Germans, so it would be kept for the Dutch.
So he drove the night watch to I have heard about the fact that they had to take it out and protect it and how fabulous it was when it came back and what a ceremony. And I can only imagine that's one of your great treasures of your country. So, wow, that's quite a memory.
And there's a small bunker here in the dunes and there's a little plaque stating there on the side that this was the bunker that the night watch was stored in a way. So it's a very famous story.
Many travelers are considering moving abroad, becoming expats. In episode 57, Jennifer Stevens and Jessica Ramish, editors at International Living, give us advice and suggestions on the best places to live abroad. Here's an example about the people of Panama, where Jessica moved to from the States.
For me, a lot of it boils down to the people. Sure, the internet is great and I can do my work as a writer from here, but it's the people. And my dad was living here until he passed away in 2013. And, you know, I've been to countries where there's maybe a little bit more impatience with people as they get older rather than respect. Whereas here in Panama, what we encountered a lot of the time was just really respect or compassion. Supermarkets cashiers would remember my dad, and he was the last dinosaur insisting on paying for things with paper checks and taking forever in line and people waiting behind him. And they remembered him and got to know him, and they would ask him how he was. And one day he was out. I wasn't with him. He was at a bank and he got dizzy and passed out. You know, the people, they sat with him. They found my number in his phone. They called me. They stayed with him until the ambulance came to take him to the hospital. They went to the hospital and waited until I got there before leaving. They kind of just left. Wouldn't take anything from me. Didn't want to accept anything. Called me the next day to ask, how is our Mr. Ramesh?
Wow.
That's the kind of person that, and of course not everyone's perfect, but that's just overwhelmingly what I've encountered here.
In episode 58, Portland, Seattle, and the glorious and sometimes weird Pacific Northwest, mystery writer Marie Sutro offers us a special memory of an experience there.
One of my most special memories was when I was in Portland and I went out to the falls that I mentioned earlier, Multnomah Falls. There's this stepping down of the water. And I went down to the base. There's this huge area that nature has eroded away, and there's rocks that have been worn smooth all over. And it's very dangerous goings. But I went out with my brother and we got really close. And the closer we got to the falls, the more the spray and the pressure off of it. And we stayed there for a few minutes. And when we took the trail and got back to our car, we didn't talk the entire time. And when we finally got back to the car, he said, how do you feel right now? How do you feel in this moment? And I said, if someone said it was my time to leave here and I had to go, it would be okay. I felt so at peace in a way that I just have never experienced.
Annabelle George is a true traveler, not a tourist. She's visited over 75 countries in ways as varied as flying private to riding on top of a train. She's hung out with shoeshine boys and a U.S. president and enjoyed it all. In episode 59, she tells of experiences like this.
We were south of Bermuda. The water was dead calm, dead calm. So we all decided to go swimming, just jump in the middle of the Atlantic. And of course, one person staying on board because we had heard horror stories of going overboard.
That movie, I remember where people were left and they were stuck in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
So, yeah.
And so one person stayed on board. It was just wild to think that there were thousands of feet under us as we were swimming. The other cool thing about the horse latitudes were that at night when we were on watch, you couldn't distinguish the sky from the sea. You could not see a horizon, but it was spectacularly beautiful and something I'll always remember.
In episode 60, after I talk first of the pleasures of the American Virgin Islands, Clive McCoy, tourism director of the British Virgin Islands, shares delights of his homeland.
I always say Virgin Gorda is the champagne of the British Virgin Islands. It's absolutely beautiful. It's always ranked as one of the top three most beautiful islands in the Caribbean. And of course, the baths. What the baths are, it's a boulder formation that is on a beach in Virgin Gorda. And you can crawl through these boulders and there's wonderful sea pools and grottos. I've heard many stories about how the baths were formed. I like to tell people that just to get an idea of what it looks like. Imagine if we had 1,000-foot giants and the boulders were Legos and they just made caves with them on the beach. That is exactly what it looks like. And they made it for persons to go through it. It's an absolutely stunning scene. It's one of the can't-miss attractions in the British Virgin Islands. It amazes me every time I go there, you know, how wonderful it is. And I've seen it all my life. So
it's absolutely
it's
wonderful.
One of those things, yeah.
The little pools, you go behind some of these boulders, you're all by yourself in a pool with these rocks. It reminds me of the granite rocks on the beaches of the Seychelles Islands.
Yes,
the Indian
Ocean.
It does mimic them.
However, I think the boulders on Virgin Gorda
are
quite, they're bigger and you can crawl through them. And there's an area that we call the cathedral. And the reason why we call it the cathedral is because the boulders shoot up hundreds of feet and it has a cathedral feel inside of it, especially when the sun is up. The sun peeks through the boulders into the water. So you can get an idea of what that looks like.
Is there a time of day you recommend? Is there when it's most beautiful?
Yes, you get the sunlight coming through the cathedral around about 10, 11 in the day. When the sun is directly overhead, you'll get that sunlight coming in. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yi Ding, born in Beijing and now living in the Netherlands, is a Eurail exec. In episode 61, she tells of a special train trip she took.
I'd like to share my experience, memory traveling in Finland with the Europass. My best rail experience was to travel from Helsinki, Finland, to the central Finland called Kuopio during Christmas period in 2017. And this is the same train route up north to the Lapland area in Finland. So at that point, daylight was short in winter in Finland. And I remember my train passed through small villages, lakes, and forests covered with snow in different types of twilight. And that's the first time I know the twilight actually has different types and different colors. And the whole experience was just magical because of the light and snow, which made me understand why there are so many fairy tales in a Scandinavian country. It's so pure and magical.
In episode 62, Leon Bolivar, longtime resident and resort executive, shares delights of the Cape Peninsula and nearby Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket Islands. We share experiences in this little excerpt.
Yeah, so the Cape has two sides, really. It's got the ocean side and it's got the bay side. The bay side is where you would see most of the whale watchers, so humpback whales with the little babies kind of following them around. Typically, you would hop on these whale watch tours in Hyannis and Barnstable area. And, you know, you're out there for about 2, 3, 4 hours. You know, there's concessions on the boat, but you get out there, enjoy the sun and really see these massive, beautiful, majestic animals swimming along the bay. And then if you go to the other side of the peninsula on the ocean side, that's really where you would see things like seals and things of that nature. So that's kind of what separates the land, the wildlife, I guess.
Wonderful.
One has all the seals and the other one has more of the whales.
Fantastic. I do know when you go out to the beach and when you're looking for the whales, I guess you can sometimes see them from the shore. One of the things you want to think about is some of the seafood. So I think of fried clams, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of Wellfleet oysters and lobster, of course, in all forms. I remember one form, I have to say, I've talked about other ice creams before, but I had lobster ice cream. Have you had that one?
I have not.
Ben and Bill's Chocolate Emporium. It's a very sweet and savory ice cream. It's sort of butter flavored with bits of lobster in it. And it was really different. We hope you've enjoyed listening to some of the best travel memories and stories from the past year. In our next episode, we'll bring you more of the best excerpts from 2022. Thanks for listening to our award-winning podcast. We've recorded over 100 episodes of Places I Remember, so follow us on any podcast app. And new monthly episodes are also on YouTube with gorgeous video. My book, Places I Remember, is available in print and Kindle, and I read the audio version. Follow my travel writing at Forbes.com. Contact me at the links in the show notes or on my website, placesiremember.leahlane.com, and keep making your own travel memories.